As we celebrate today Septuagesima Sunday, wearing the purple of penance, we are reminded that Lent is now just a few weeks away. And so the Church is asking us to prepare ourselves for Lent. In other words, not to wait until Fat Tuesday to decide what it is that you're planning on doing for Lent, or worse, like some of us might do, waiting until about a week or two into Lent to decide what we're going to do, and then we say, well, it's already too late, so I guess we'll try again next year. So the Church is asking us not to do that kind of thing, but rather to prepare ourselves now, to begin to think about what we're going to be doing and get ourselves ready. Now, in that vein, we look at the readings the Church has given to us, and they're rather grave when you really stop to think about it. First of all, St. Paul in the first reading talks about how there are a number of runners in a race, but only one gets the prize. All of them deny themselves lots of things, but only one wins. So he says, run so as to win. We're not, you know, obviously there are no participation awards like they have today. You showed up, you get an award. Now that's not what he's talking about, because he makes it very clear when he talks about the people in the desert. Now keep in mind, there were close to 2 million people in the desert, somewhere between 1.5 million and 2 million that came out of Egypt. And how many entered the Promised Land? 2 out of that couple million. Joshua and Caleb are the only 2 of the entire group that came out of Egypt who entered the Promised Land, because God was not pleased with the people. They murmured against him. They didn't have faith. They didn't trust. And ask yourself, how often do I murmur against God? If you're from Minnesota, it probably happens a lot. How often do we fail to trust God? God took care of these people every day. They saw extraordinary things. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them water from a rock. And they didn't trust him. And they kept whining and complaining about it. And so it's not that they were necessarily out committing grave sins, but they were not serving the Lord. And then our Lord speaks to us in the gospel reading and says at the end, many are called, but few are chosen. And so the Church is giving us these readings to be able to say, let's take a look at our lives and ask what needs to change. In other words, ask yourself, if I were to die today, what would happen? If I had to stand before our blessed Lord today for judgment, how would that go? What would it sound like? Now, we'd all like to be able to say, well, he's going to look right at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's rest. Could he actually say that to you? Listening to what we heard in the readings today, can we actually say that? Now let's take it a step further, because, you know, there are some people who want to say, oh, as long as you believe in Jesus, you're going straight to heaven. Then there are the others who want to say, well, look, I'm baptized into the Lord, I receive Holy Communion. So what's St. Paul tell us in the first reading? He talks about the fact that all the people passed through the sea. They were all under the cloud. They passed through the sea. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So there was a baptism. Not like ours, obviously. The cloud that was there, it's called the Shekinah. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the glory cloud of God. And so the cloud overshadowed the people. The cloud led the people. And he led them right through the sea. And so in this way, they were baptized of sorts into Moses. So St. Paul's looking back. He's saying, okay, look, Christian people are baptized. Look what happened in the Old Testament. It's something similar. Obviously not the same, but it's something similar. And then he takes it even a step further and says, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. They had manna that God provided from heaven, and they had water that came out of a rock. Now there's rather odd little statement that St. Paul makes. They drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, St. Paul is not saying, look, there were these couple million people wandering through the desert, and there was this rock that was kind of, making its path through the desert. That's not what he's saying. But the rabbis, rather, they looked at it and they said, look, in the book of Exodus, we have God telling Moses to strike the rock. And so he did, and water came from the rock. And then, quite a while later, we see in the book of Numbers that God once again tells Moses to strike the rock. Well, he didn't, actually. He told Moses to speak to the rock. And Moses, out of anger at what was going on with the people, decides he's going to strike the rock instead of speak to it. And the water came out of the rock for the people. And so the rabbis looked at it and said, well, basically, this has got to be the same rock. How many rocks have you ever banged on and gotten water? And not just a drop or two. We're talking enough water to be able to take care of a couple million people and all their livestock. And so they're out in the desert. And they've got enough water for every single day for all the people and all the animals. And so the rabbis, as they looked at this, said, God had to be providing for them in an extraordinary way. So as St. Paul says, there's a spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ. And so what is it that we have? We have spiritual bread. We have spiritual drink. We have the Holy Eucharist. And so St. Paul once again is looking back and saying, okay, what happened in the desert was somewhat similar, obviously not the same, but somewhat similar to what we have. So the people had something of a baptism, and they had something similar to the Holy Eucharist. God was providing for them in extraordinary ways, and therefore they had something that was analogous to the sacraments. And that's the point that he's making. They had all of this, and two of those people made it in to the Promised Land. The rest died out in the desert. Now, there was a homily that made the rounds back a couple of weeks ago that came from one of the saints and said something to the effect of, well, one day 80,000 people died, two went to heaven, three went to purgatory, and the rest were condemned. I'm not buying that, but it makes the point. Not everybody's going to heaven. The way that leads to heaven, Jesus said, is rough and narrow, and few they are who are on it. The American way is not the rough, narrow way. We want the easy way. And unfortunately, Jesus said, the easy way leads to perdition. And so that's why the church now is asking us over these next couple of weeks to really look seriously at what needs to change. Because again, as I mention every year, if we just go through the perfunctory things, is that really going to make a change in our lives? If I give up potato chips again this year, is that going to get me to heaven? Are M&Ms really keeping me from heaven? Is pop keeping me from eternal life? I have my doubts. I mean, if you're addicted to this stuff, yeah, you need to work against it, get rid of it. Look at your sins. Look at the areas where you're offending God. What is it that you bring up time after time after time after time when you go to confession? Never once In 35 years of hearing confessions, have I ever heard somebody say, I drank pop, ate M&Ms, or had chips? Never once. And yet that's what we decide to do for Lent, because this is so difficult. Because I really want to grow in holiness. So I'll keep sinning, but I'll give up M&Ms. Heck of a deal. Let's be serious. I keep telling you, we're headed for trouble. Are you ready? I don't mean, do you have your basement full of stuff? I'm saying, is your soul prepared? What if God called you home today? What stands between you and Him? As St. Paul said, most of them, God was not well pleased. Is He with you? Thanks be to God, we have this opportunity to get this turned around. This year is shaping up to be a very difficult one coming up. And the couple after that are not looking much better. Ask yourself, what's your disposition? Are we going to whine and murmur and moan against God? Or do we have trust? Are we going to believe? Are we going to look at it and say, you know what, if God can take care of 2 million people every single day out in a desert, not only did He feed them with the manna and with the water, but when they kept whining and complaining, He sent birds, quail, for 30 days. They had enough quail for everybody to eat. Again, that's a couple of million people, and they had quail coming in every single day. God can take care of you if you trust Him and don't whine and complain against Him. We're really good at giving Him lip service, but we're not so good at serving Him. So again, look seriously at yourself. And even if it's something that might not sound all that big of a deal, like, I'm not going to complain against God, you're going to find that's a big deal if we do it regularly. That's much better to give up for Lent. Because it's not just for Lent. Remember, the idea of Lent is that what you're going to do for those 6 weeks is something that you want to be able to do for the rest of your life. This is just laying the foundation. So what a wonderful thing it would be if Catholics didn't whine and complain about God. What an extraordinary thing it would be if we actually trusted God. What a beautiful thing it would be if we had true faith and hope in God. It's not that we don't have any of those things, but do we have what it's going to take? Again, put yourself into the position of those people 3,500 years ago. They're out in a desert, and it is a miserable desert. I told you before, when we crossed the border into Egypt, it was noon, it was 110 degrees. And the sun was beating straight down, and there is not a tree in sight to be able to get any kind of shade. Everywhere you looked, it was just sand. There's nothing out there. That's why God brought them out into the desert, so that they could learn to trust Him. They couldn't do it by themselves, because it's not like, okay, well, we pulled into this area where there was a lot of food growing and we picked it. No, there's nothing growing. There's no water. They had to learn to trust God. And so in the midst of that, just again, think practically for a second. There's 100 and some degrees beating down on your head. You're hot, you're miserable. Imagine the stench 2 million people without a shower anywhere in sight. And these people are living in close proximity with one another. You can imagine the bickering that would go on. You can imagine the struggles that would be there. That's the point. Look forward. We're not just looking at, okay, if I have to do this for an hour or two, I can handle this. What happens if you're being asked to do this for weeks or months or even a few years? Are you ready to handle it? Are you able to handle it? And if nothing happens, what happens if you wind up getting sick? You've got a terminal illness and it might last for a long time and you're in a lot of pain. Are you able to handle that? Do you have the interior disposition to accept it, to be at peace, to offer it up in union with Jesus? Or are we going to whine and complain and question and doubt and all the things that oftentimes come with all that? That's the kind of thing that I'm looking at. And that's why I keep saying M&Ms and chips and whatever aren't going to do a thing about anything like that. So what really needs to change in your life? If these things were to happen, what needs to be different? What do I need to change? That's what the church is asking us to look at. And to be serious about it. Because if we're just flippant about it, then when things happen, we're going to be flippant about that too. And we're not going to be found pleasing to the Lord. So if we want to be able to enter into the promised land, then we need to show ourselves worthy of it. We need to be prepared spiritually. So look at your prayer life. More than anything, that's what it needs to be. Everything needs to flow from your prayer. So if you're simply saying a few prayers, that's not going to get you very far. You need to be seeking union with the Lord. You need to be really working to grow in the spiritual life. And through that prayer and through that growth, then you're going to be able to look at some of those areas. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's lack of trust, maybe it's lack of faith, maybe it's lack of charity. Whatever it is that you see, God will give you then the grace to be able to work on those things. So that's the challenge that is put before us. So the church gives us these very difficult readings today, specifically to kind of shake us up. Say, all right, Lent starts in just a couple of weeks. Let's look seriously at what needs to change in our lives so that as we work our way through Lent, as we continue forward from there, we are going to be found to be pleasing to the Lord. And at that point, we can receive the reward that God gives for having labored all day or part of the day or whatever it is, whenever we had that point of conversion, we're going to be able to receive that denarius, the reward of eternal life.